Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, if you will. And we're going to read the first 20 verses together. Follow along with me. I'm trying to preach just a little message to you tonight. We're going to read the text and pray, then I give you the title of the message. I've only got about 3 points tonight I want to try to tell you about, explain to you about, and may God speak to our heart about this text that we have before us here. In Mark chapter 5, look with me if you will, in Mark chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 1. And the word of God says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of Gadareans. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' And he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thy unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with devils and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, 'Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee.' And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel." Let's pray together. Father, we come before you tonight on this Wednesday evening service, and I know tonight I sure do need your help. Lord, I pray you'll help my heart, that you'll help my mouth, you'll help my voice. God, that you'll illuminate my mind tonight. Father, may I say all that you wish me to say. And God, keep from my heart and mind the things that needs not to be said tonight. Lord, I believe there's a right message, but God, there's also a right time to preach the right message. God, help me to preach this message that you've given to me in the right spirit, with the right love, but God, with authority tonight. Lord, we love you. We need you. I pray, God, you'll bless each and every one that's here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. I'm going to try to preach a message tonight. Maybe it'll grip your heart. I think about revival meeting approach, and we're going to have revival meeting, and I emphasize meeting. My friend, only God can bring revival. I think about Habakkuk in chapter 3. He said, "Lord, revive thy works. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy." God's the only one that can send revival. God's the only one that can make his work known. God's the only one that can send mercy in the midst of his wrath. I believe it was David. David said, "Lord, restore me the joy of thy salvation." He said, I want to have revival again. I want to be stirred up and set on fire, and I want to have the joy back in my heart and life again. And my friend, I think about revival meeting that's approaching here this coming week, and me and my wife, we've been praying diligently that God would send revival, not only to our church, but to our hearts and to our home, and to our church, and to our country, to America, to the world, that God would stir his people to move into action, my friend, and do what needs to be done. I think about this message here. I think about this Gadarene maniac, how you met Jesus Christ, and I appreciate the Bible when it said that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And my friend, that's what Christ will do to anybody that gets saved by his amazing grace. My friend, the person that gets saved would desire to sit at the feet of Jesus. And we sit at the feet of Jesus as we read God's word. And the Bible says he is clothed. I appreciate the fact when you get saved, you put clothes on. You don't take off clothes, you put clothes on. And the Bible says he is in his right mind. He was able to make the right decisions, my friend. There's difference between being spiritual and being spiritually mature. Being spiritual is making a right decision at the right time. But being spiritual mature is making the right decisions all the time. Anybody can be spiritual at any moment. Tonight you can make the right decision, and it'll be a spiritual decision you make. But my friend, I'm talking about being spiritually mature, where you wake up every day living in the ruling presence of God and making the right decisions because of who Jesus Christ is. I want to try to preach tonight for just a short time. Lord, help our problems, but save our pigs. Lord, help our problems, but save our pigs. I want you to notice tonight what the problem was in verse 2. The Bible says that when he was come into the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Here this madman, he's a Gadarenian maniac is what people calls him. He was living amongst the tombs. That tells me that he was a dead man. Not only that, but the Bible said he had an unclean spirit. So not only was he dead in sins, but he's also a sinner. Do you agree with me on that, my friend? He's living around the tombs. He was an unclean man with unclean spirits. He was a sinner, my friend, that needed help. And what was his problem? He needed to be saved. You ask me what's America's problem. They need to be saved, my friend. We was in class today, and I told my wife about this, and our psychology teacher, she said that we've got three stages in a person's life, and there's three stages is they got a bad behavior. And out of that bad behavior, you got to discipline them. You got to spank them or ground them or do a timeout, whatever you prefer to do. We prefer to spank them. And she said, because you got a bad problem, Brother John, you got to have discipline. And that discipline is supposed to produce a good behavior. But she said something that caught my attention, and I don't understand it if she realized the significance of what she said, but she said this. She said, you've got bad behavior, you've got discipline, and you've got good behavior. She said, but there's something that causes the bad behavior. And my friend, what causes the bad behavior? I believe it's sin. If you can get sin out of a young girl, young boy's life, you won't have the bad behavior. And if you don't have the bad behavior, you don't have to have the whippings and the whoopings and the spankings and the disciplines. And my friend, if they get the sin out of life, then it will have a good behavior. Here this man, he was in the tombs. He was a man of unclean spirits. He was a sinner that needed help. And thank God when he saw Jesus, he realized the help that he needed. We've got many of folks that come to our church Sunday after Sunday. I think about one man in particular. You pray for him if you know who he is. He's been coming to our Sunday morning services on the bus for about the past 6 or 7 years. And if you talk to him and witness to him, he'll tell you to your face. He'll say, I know I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I need to be saved because if I die in the situation I'm in, I would have to go to hell. So why are you getting saved? Why do you trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior? Hey, this man in the Bible, he is amongst the tombs, amongst dead people, and he had unclean spirits. And my friend, he gives us a picture of a lost person that needs Jesus Christ. I tell you what the problem was, he needed to be saved. Not only that, but notice this, if you will, in verse 3. Who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Now, not only was this man his problem, but this man was other people's problems. You get what I'm trying to show you tonight? He had a problem. What was the problem? This man was a sinner. He needed to be saved. That was his problem. His sin was going to take him to hell, and he needed to be saved. But not only that, but because he was a sinner, he was other people's problems. My friend, these people had a problem with them. What was their problem? Look here, if you would, in verse 5. The Bible says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. My friend, he was there night and day. That speaks about a continual action, a continual work. This man had a problem. He was a sinner. The Bible says that the people try to come to him, Brother John, and bound him with fetters and chains. They try to shackle his hands and feet together. And my friend, he'll just bust those shackles off of his wrist and bust those shackles off of his feet. And they would take a chain and wrap a chain around him and maybe try to chain him to a tree or chain him to a rock or chain him to some kind of tomb or some kind of cement, a column or a pillar or something. And he would just bust his chains to pieces. Boy, they had a big problem, didn't they? This man had a problem because he wasn't saved. He was lost. And on that, but he was a problem to everybody else. My friend, we've got a problem in America. And the problem is sin. Sin is running a rampage upon America. The Bible says there's no fear of God before their eyes. What's wrong with America? Sin. What is America's problem? Sin. What is our problem tonight, my friend? Our problem is not each other. Our problem is not what we can't do. My friend, we can do what we can and believe God for the rest. But what's the problem tonight? The problem is old Satan, the Lucifer, old devil, my friend. He's deceiving people and tricking people, and the people's living for self and living for the devil, and they create a problem. By the way, let me ask you a question tonight. What's your problem? You say, "Praise God, I'm saved." Well, that's wonderful. But I look around, all of us got problems tonight. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a spiritual problem. Maybe it's a household problem. Maybe it's a church problem. Maybe it's even a self problem. Praise God, I've got a problem with myself tonight. That's why we need revival, is because we've got problems. We need a Holy Ghost sent revival because we live in this flesh and we are a leaky vessel. And my friend, when God fills us up, we just leak back down. When I first got my driver's license, I got a 1984 Mustang. Boy, it's red. Well, it's orange. It started off red and then the sun dyed it orange. Every week I fill up with gas and put 2 quarts of oil in it. It was leaking. My daddy said, "Hey, don't park that car on the cement." He said, "Don't park that car nowhere near the house." He said, "Get it away from the house and get it away from the cement because it's leaking oil everywhere." My friend, it had a problem. It leaked down. What's our problem? We leaked down. Boy, you hear somebody sing a song and it gets your heart all bubbling. And then a man of God would preach a message and you'd make a decision for Christ that night. "Hey, I'm going to go out and do something big for Jesus and live for the Lord." And then about 2 weeks later, you're down right there where you was at before. How many of us has made a New Year's promise at the beginning of the year, "Lord, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through this year." And you get through a few weeks or maybe a few months, a few books. And then it seems like it gets harder and harder to pick the Bible up and read. And then you get so far behind, it seems like it's useless to try to get caught up again. My friend, you know what the problem is? We leak down. What the problem is, this man was the problem. This man was the problem for himself. This man was a problem for his neighbors. This man was a problem for his town. I look around tonight. What kind of problems do we have? You say, "Preach God, I've got a problem with myself." Well, you got to fix it. You say, "Preach God, I've got a problem with my family." You've got to fix it. "Preach God, I've got a problem with my church." Well, you got to try to fix it. How do we fix our problems? I want you to notice what happened here. Jesus Christ came on the scene, and my friend, he fixed their problems. This man was the problem for himself, for his family, and for the town. But look what Jesus Christ done. If you look here, if you would. Let me try to find it real quick if I can. Look here, if you would. In verse 8, the Bible says, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thy unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran valley down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they choked in the sea." I want you to get this in your mind. Now, Jesus Christ, he come to Gennesaret and his Gadarenian. He come to this town and his Gadarenian. He met Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ realized he had a problem. And he realized his problem was unclean spirit. And the spirit said, "Hey, Lord, don't just send us out into the country, but send us into these swine." You know what Jesus Christ done, boys? He said, "Okay, what's your name?" And the boy said, "Our name is Legion." That means there's a lot of them. There's thousands of thousands. There's a lot of them. And he said, "I'll tell you what I do, devils. I'll take you out of this man and put you into the swines." Jesus Christ, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to fix these people's problem. He's trying to fix this man's problem. He's trying to fix this town's problem. He's trying to fix this family's problem. You know what Jesus Christ is doing, my friend? He's trying to fix our problem. How is God going to fix our problem? Through the church, through prayer, through each other, through revival meeting. God's, my friend, I really believe that God's trying to fix America. I believe, and I say it from the pulpit, that's why we got the president we do, my friend. God's trying to bring us Christians down on our knees and realize it's not politics, it's not the government, it's not the president, but it's Jesus Christ who we should put our eyes on and realize our help cometh from above. Here, Jesus Christ, he was at this town, he was at this place, he was talking to this man, and he said, hey, I tell you what, I can fix your problem. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He commanded those evil spirits, those unclean spirits, the devil, the Bible calls them devils. My friend, there's only one devil, but that word devil means an unclean spirit or a demon or an angel that follows the devil, well, my friend, which we know is demons. And here Jesus Christ said, hey, you come out of him and go into these swines. And these swines got filled up with these evil spirits. And the Bible says they ran very, very fast down a steep hill and went straight into the water and drowned. Or something, ain't it? You read God's word and you read a story like this and you wonder, how in the world is this fitting in? Why would the Lord tell us that he sent these evil spirits into the pigs and the pigs ran down a steep hill and drowned or choked in the water? What's going on here? Jesus Christ said, hey, I can fix your problem. Hey, I can take care of what you want me to take care of. My friend, I want you to know, Jesus Christ can fix any problem that we have in our lives. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our problems. But I want you to know this. If he fixes your problems, it might cost you something. He fixed this man's problem. He fixed this man's family's problem. This man's family, their problem was daddy. Daddy had an unclean spirit. Daddy wasn't right. Daddy was a sinner. Daddy was in the tombs night and day cutting himself. He wasn't going home. He wasn't taking care of the family. He wasn't doing what he's supposed to do. And not only the family, but the people in the community come and they put handcuffs on him. They put shackles on him, wrapped him up in chains, and he just broke all that stuff, my friend. He could not be tamed, is what the Word of God says. And no man can tame him. And Jesus Christ steps on the scene, sister, and he says, hey, I can fix your problem. And he sent all these unclean spirits into the swine. I want you to notice these swine, what does these pigs represent to us tonight? These pigs represent money. These men, these herders had these pigs, and no doubt they was going to use them to get some kind of gain. They weren't going to sell them to the Jews because the Jews weren't going to eat pig. They weren't going to eat swine. They weren't going to eat pork. But I believe this man, my friend, was an entrepreneur. He's going to use these pigs to get some kind of gain. If God fixes our problems, you know what it's going to cost us? It might cost us some of our money. If God's going to fix our problem in America, it's going to cost some of us to give more money so we can get more gospel tracts out, so we can get more Bibles printed, so we can get more gospel literature into people's houses and people's homes and tell them about Jesus Christ. Think about Sister Karen. Well, the other day, she blew my mind. She came up to me and said, Pastor, I need 30 of them CDs on the way of salvation. I said, honey, I'm having a big one. 30 CDs. What in the world you want 30 CDs for? She said, I'm going to take it and I'm going to canvass my area and I'm going to give every family, every home, every person I see, I'm going to give them a CD on salvation and give them a gospel tract and invite them to church and see if the Lord won't save them. Boy, that's wonderful, ain't it? She's trying to get her community saved. If she does that, Brother Ron ain't got to worry about locking his car doors. He's not going to have to worry about locking his house doors. He's not going to have to worry about his lawnmower staying outside. Boy, everything will be just right. Jesus Christ said, hey, folks, I can fix your problems. But it's going to cost you something. It might cost you money. Them CDs ain't free. The church paid for them. Your tithes paid for them. My tithes paid for them. My time's invested in that. But it's going to cost us. And God says, hey, America's in bad shape. Your life's in bad shape. Your church is in bad shape. But I can fix it. And it might cost you some money. And on that, but it might also cost you some time. No doubt these men had some time invested in these pigs. They fed them and watered them and took care of them. The Bible says they had a whole herd of swine. They had a whole herd of pigs. No doubt it takes time, my friend. It takes time to breed these hogs and to have piglets and have the piglets to grow up and with the right vaccine and have them grow up healthy and so they can reproduce more and reproduce more. My friend, it took money and it took time. God says, hey, church, you want revival? You want me to fix your problems? You want me to cause new things to happen in your church? You want to get stirred up for God again? He says, hey, I can do it. I can fix your problems. I can give you revival, but it might cost some money and it might cost some of your time. Beloved, I tell you, I'd rather give away money than I do time. Because you won't ever get back time. Once this second's gone, it's gone. You can go out there and make more money. You can go out there and earn more money. You can go out and get more money, but time, when it's time is gone, it's gone. But God says, hey, I can fix your problem, but it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some money. It's going to even cost you your life. Some of our lives, I think about it, some of your lives has been invested in this church. I talked to Miss Patsy yesterday. And she told me about how she got saved in the church and about her family coming to this church and how things just took place in her life. And I thought about, as she has talked to me about Sister Rachel and her time in her life, she's invested in this church and Brother Pete and how their time's invested in this church and different other times and different other people's lives who's been invested in this church. Hey, God, you know what God says, church? God says, hey, I can fix your problem. Whatever problem you got, I believe God can fix it tonight, but it's going to cost some money. It's going to cost some time, and it might even cost your life. I'm giving my life to the ministry. I'm giving my life to the Lord. I'm not giving my life to this church. I'm giving my life to the Lord. And here these swine, these pigs, represents these three things for us. They had a problem, but they also had pigs. And God says, hey, you want me to fix this Gadarene maniac? You want me to take care of his problem, take care of your problem, take care of his family's problem? I can do that, but it's going to cost me to send these unclean spirits to these swines, and these swines is going to go down to the water and choke and kill themselves. I can fix your problems, but it will cost you something. They had a problem. You got a problem? We all got problems. It's going to take a price to fix it. But I want you to notice what the people said. It's interesting to me what they said. Look here if you would. We saw the problem. We saw the pigs. Let's look at the people in verse 17. Notice here, after Jesus Christ command these legions, these unclean spirits to go into the swines, and the swines ran down a hill and choked into the water. Notice what it says in verse 17. And they begin to pray him to depart out of their coast. This same story is recorded for us in the book of Matthew. Turn there if you would. Matthew chapter 8. It's the same identical story. It's worded just a little bit different because Matthew is the penman here and he wrote it just a little bit different, my friend. But it's the same story, and I want you to get a better understanding about what these men told Jesus to do. It's interesting to me. These people had a problem. You know what God done? God fixed the problem. So what did the people say to Jesus after Jesus fixed our problems? What are we going to say, church, before we read this verse? What are we going to say if God says, hey, open door, I will and I can and I'm able to give you revival, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost some of you to give your life to the work of the ministry, to the work of God. It's going to cost some of you, my friend, more than what you think you'll be willing to pay. What was these people's response? Look here, if you would, in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 8. The last verse of Matthew chapter 8. Notice what the people said. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. You know what they said? They said, Jesus, boy, you cost us too much now. You took care of our problems, but you should have saved our pigs. And now we don't have the money to invest in other things that we want to do. We've done spent so much time in these pigs that all of our time is gone. And not even some of these pigs was the only way we was going to live. And now, Jesus, you took care of our problems, but you should have saved our pigs. And my friend, what are they telling Jesus? You know what they're saying? Jesus, you've done a great miracle. You've done a mighty work in our lives, but I want you to do something. I want you to leave. I don't want you here no more. They looked at Jesus and saw him and said, hey, Jesus, depart out of our coast. You know what they're saying? They said, Jesus, you've cost us too much. Do we really want revival, church? We're going to have a revival meeting next week, starting Sunday. And I'm praying God will send me to revival. And I want you to know, as we pray, you've got to have this in your mind. It's going to cost something. Well, God's not going to send revival. God's not going to send revival, church, without it costing us something. It's going to cost us money. No doubt we got to feed the preacher. Hey, we've got to put him out there in the trailer, and he's going to run the air conditioner wide open, and we've got to pay that bill. We've got to pay the grocery bill. He's going to bring his whole entire family with him. Boy, that's a surprise. When I called him and invited him to revival meeting to preach for revival for us, I said, brother, are you going to come by yourself? He said, I believe I am. He called me just a few days ago and said, hey, I'm going to bring my wife and two children. Is that all right? I said, well, come on, more the merrier. Hey, but we've got to feed more mouths. Hey, they're going to take more baths. They're going to waste more laundry detergent and more towels. And hey, my friend, it's going to cost this church some money to have revival meeting. But I'm talking about personally, what is it going to cost you? If you're going to get revived, it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you your life. Here, my friend, Jesus Christ, he fixed their problem. And as soon as he fixed their problem, they looked down at Brother Robert and said, hey, get out of here. You're costing us too much. You're costing us too much. And a lot of times that's what we say. Jesus, I want it if it's free. But if it's going to cost me, I don't want it. Sister Barbara, if it's going to cost me, I don't want it. I told Sister Kay the other day, I said, if you pass out these gospel tracts and you pass out these CDs, what you do, you go to somebody's house, you knock on doors, they
preach tonight, and you even know who's going to move to this altar here in just a few minutes. I think about David. David told Ornan, he said, "Hey, I don't want it free, but I'm willing to pay the full price." Lord, help us to be willing to pay the full price for a move of God, not only in this church, but in our lives. I want God to move in my life. I want God to send me to revival. I want our children to see them old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled revivals. God, I pray, whatever price you want us to pay, God, you'll let us know. And God, may we graciously, with joyfulness, be obedient to what you've called us to do. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. If you would stand with me as she starts playing Invitation tonight. And now she's playing "I Surrender All." I surrender all, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Can you say that tonight? God, send us revival. God, be so close to us we can feel thy breath upon our necks. God, be so powerful in our preaching services that when sinners come in, they'll be so convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that they won't leave lost, but they'll leave a saint of God by giving themselves to Christ. Oh God, give us power in our ministry as we go out and be a witness for Christ, that God will use us to bring multitudes upon multitudes to Jesus Christ for salvation. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. The second verse says, all to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly treasures all forsaken. Take me now. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender. I surrender all. I hope we surrender to the Lord tonight. Jesus said, I can fix your problem. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you something.